moments of a tape tonight. It's a whole tape. I listened to it about 3 or 4 times lately. And this is one of my classes that I took 22 years ago. I was the co-teacher in this class, and I was taking this class. I think this is about the second time around that I took it. It was parables. And anyway, the teacher is Dr. Carl Farrar, and he was basically almost an invalid paraplegic. All of his life since he was 5 years old, but he was a brilliant, absolute genius, the most read and learned man that I ever studied under. I want you to listen to just a few things he's got to say because it means so much of what's going on in the world today. Hope you can hear this.
Right now, I'm watching this thing fairly close as I can. I wish I took the U.S. News World Report right now and keep up with some things a little closer than what I am. But, the situation over there with Iran and Afghanistan, you know, it's in the vote in the U.N. last night. Russia voted against sanctions against Iran. Russia is behind Iran. And what do you find there? And it's becoming more and more apparent that this so-called Ayatollah over there is nothing but a communist dupe. I've got it in print at the house that the ones who went into exile years ago into France only had 9 fingers, but the one that's over there now has got 10 fingers. And so they are. Now, what does all of that add up to? Well, it's causing us to have to send a man over to work as closely in Western Europe as possible, and almost going to the point of asking NATO come in. They say they will not go that far, but going to try to get those sanctions going in there. Now, what we're seeing here, brethren, is a thing that's throwing those Western European countries closer together, which thing we believe will become an allied confederacy upon which the Antichrist will seize at some particular time. And so I think it's a very important thing. But behind the whole thing is this, that there is your Muslim religion that's behind
it. 22 years ago. I was listening to that 2 or 3 times this last week, and it just kept sparking while we were talking about Islam is going to be the other side. That's what's going to get all the Western nations together to fight against them, and that is where the Antichrist will come up. He is going to answer all of the questions that they have, and security and everything. We see this going on right around the side. I mean, we're in that situation at this moment. That's where we are in history and in time. We're in Revelation, the 17th chapter, and verse 8. Revelation 17 and verse 8, and I want to go back. Some of you are new to the class, so I want to go back and recap some things for you from the book of Revelation. The first part of the book of Revelation, we have John, the Apostle John. He's receiving a prophecy. Okay, where is he? Where was John when he received this prophecy? The island of Patmos, all right? And he was literally, this was literally the Apostle John, he was receiving a revelation. Now, what does the word revelation mean? It's in the Greek word, it's apokalypsis. It means to take off the cover, to take the cover off of, to reveal something, all right? To make it known. Now, there are many interpretations of the book of Revelation. Down through the ages, the very early churches believed in that it was a prophetic view of something that was going to happen. As we got down to the Dark Ages and then into the Protestant Reformation, Calvin and Luther started spiritualizing, and by the way, both of them were students of Augustine, or Augustine. And he spiritualized the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, he spiritualized the whole Bible. He would say, well, this isn't literally what it means. Now, one of our doctrinal statements as a body of believers in this assembly here at Valley Baptist Church, one of the things that we believe in, and they sent out a questionnaire, was it last Sunday morning they sent this questionnaire back out again? We got the questionnaire, was it last Sunday or Sunday? Okay, last Sunday. One of the things in there, do you believe that the Bible is inerrant and plenary verbal inspiration of the Bible? What does that mean? Brother Don. What is that plenary verbal inspiration of the Bible? What does that mean?
It means that every word is God-breathed in the original orthodox.
That's right. We believe that the Word of God is absolutely inspired in the original languages, in the original autographs in which God gave it to these men. Now, the book of Revelation is looked upon as a prophetic book because it's a book of prophecy. And what does the word prophecy mean?
It comes from two Greek words.
Two Greek words.
Pros and the Theon.
Theon.
Okay. Yeah. To
say before. You say something before it happens. And we have prophecy in the book of Isaiah. Psalm 22. David wrote a psalm, Psalm number 22. And what does that psalm, how many of you can quote the first verse of that? Eloah, Eloah, lama sabachthani. Yeah, all right. My God, why have you forsaken me? Who spoke those words?
Jesus on the cross.
How long later? 1,000 years later? Some close to 1,000 years later? He spoke those very words. Read that whole 23rd and 22nd Psalm all the way down to that's prophecy. Isaiah 53. What does Isaiah 53 tell us? That is a chapter of prophecy in the book of Isaiah. And what does it specifically talk about? The suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary when the Roman crucifixion hadn't even been invented yet. That's prophecy. Alright? The word for crucifixion in the Greek word is stakos. We get a word stake from that word, stake. Alright? Give you a little word history right now. Stakos, all right. And our word stake comes from that. And the Russellites really have a little fit with this thing, except they're all wrong. And that's a Jehovah's Witnesses, and you don't know who a Russellite is. All right. Originally, the word stakos meant to stake somebody, to stake them. Their first crucifixion was invented by who? Where was the crucifixion invented?
Nineveh.
That's why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. All right? Crucifixion was invented by Nineveh. The Ninevites, the Assyrians. All right? This was a stake, a sharpened teepee pole, so to speak. All right? This is the word stakos in its original form. Okay? Now, when they changed the form of crucifixion, the word stayed the same, but it meant something different. It was a different form of crucifixion. They would take a person and disrobe them and stab them, the stick into them, and they would lay up here until the stick went up through their body and impale them slowly to death. That was bad, wasn't it? That was nothing to what the Romans did. Same word, stakos. But that's it right there. Now, instead of being impaled by this stake and it going up through your body, your wrists were nailed to here and nailed to here, and then your feet were nailed down here, usually on a plank that was sticking out a piece of wood there, and to get a breath, you had to push yourself up to get a breath because your diaphragm couldn't expel any air unless you did. And they were on this cross sometimes for a week and 2 weeks in history. People suffered like this before they died. That's a long time of suffering. That was really bad. The word sakos is still this one. It changed in history from this form to the Roman form. Now, the word crucifixion at this point in history, he couldn't have been hanging with his bones out of joint, could he? Like I said in Isaiah 53 and in Psalm 22, it had to be like this. So God knew this would be invented and everything, okay? Prophecy. Now, the book of Revelation is a prophetic book. The book of Daniel is closely related to the book of Revelation. Some of the terms are used, Son of Man. Son of Man is used one time in the book of Revelation. It's used over there in the book of Daniel also. It talks about the God of glory. And it tells you in the first part of the book of Revelation a picture of Jesus Christ. It is symbolic. But it's a picture, the same type of picture that you see in the book of Daniel, of the hair like wool, the God of the ages, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ of eternity, did not have a beginning. He coexisted with the Father and with God for all eternity. In space and time, he was born in Bethlehem, but he existed forever before that. In space and time, God says, John 1:14, and the Word, the Jehovah, became flesh. All right, Mother.
Okay.
Prophecy. The book of Revelation is a book of prophecy. Many people today will tell you it's a historic book. That's what happened back then. And John is writing to the seven churches of Asia, which he did. He wrote to the seven churches of Asia, and he speaks to them. You can find that in the first, second, and third chapter of the book of Revelation if you want to go back and study all of it and then come up to where we are. John wrote this letter, this prophecy to them. Those seven churches in Asia were literal churches, weren't they? They existed in that time right there, and they had problems in there, but also prophetically looking forward, we can see the church age that we live in, how it evolved in time. What period of time, according to what church, do we correspond with today? The church of what? Laodicea. What does Laodicea mean? Remember that, Brother Don? What is that Laodicea? Comes to Laos.
Isn't it Laodicea church? Yeah, the people.
People? Bikio? People judgment. People will judge what is right in their own eyes. People rulers, people judgers, people making the decision of what is right and wrong. Not God, not according to the rules of God's book, but according to their own consciences. Remember in the history of Israel one time it says, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. God has a rule book. That's written by the God of eternity, the one who inhabits eternity. He tells us what's right and wrong. We can't figure it out ourselves. We can't make new rules today. Those rules stand from eternity past. Rules of right and wrong. Moral rules. Issues. Today, you'll find it is rules are according to where you live and who you are and what time you live. But rules are eternal rules. Well, we see these seven churches of Asia. And we look down in church history and you can look back and you can see these things that you see. But never in history has there ever been a tribulation period that is spoken of as in the book of Revelation. Has there ever been a time in history that five out of six men in the world were just killed?
No.
No. Never. Has there ever been a time when the whole oceans of the world turned into a blood-like substance and all the fish in the sea died? According to the book of Revelation, do you believe that to be true? I do. I believe it's real, literal proof. Some people will try to spiritualize it away. And so, well, it's just spiritually talking about this really isn't going to happen, or it happened 1,000 years ago. This was the Dark Ages or whatever. Well, if you'd have been a Baptist in those Dark Ages, you might have thought the Antichrist was on the throne. It was a forerunner of the Antichrist. He was an Antichrist, all right, but not the Antichrist. Because the world has never known an Antichrist like the Antichrist that shall come upon the throne. Because the whole world, it says, will wander after him. How could the whole world take his, all the whole world under him take his mark? Never in history was it ever technologically able to be done. Guess what? You're there. You're right there in the midst of it. You've got a number. You've got a citizen number. You've got all of these things already. All they have to do is put it on you. The mark of the Antichrist. How are you going to keep yourself safe, you know, in these hard times like we're about to live in? You know, I mean, what happened to America? 3 planes got crashed. And one of them, the people crashed to save where it was going, which is great. Okay? But 3 planes crashed and the stock market went to pieces. I mean, everybody in the whole nation, 3 planes crashed. They have 6,000 people died. How many millions of people are in this nation? What speck of a percentage is that compared to what we're talking about in the book of Revelation? It's not even... You can already calculate it. Boy, what an effect that has had upon this nation. What's going to happen when all this other stuff happens? What's going to break... It talks about germ warfare in the book of Revelation. That hasn't happened yet, but boy, it's right around the corner now, isn't it? They're even talking about it on television now. It's here. The ability is here. All that's here. It's spoken of in the book of Revelation. It's never happened. The bubonic plague in Europe. The flu of 1917. Smallpox. Cholera. The yellow fever. All that's killed a lot of people in history. But nothing like spoken of in the book of Revelation. My wife told me the other day, I'm not picking on you, dear little sweet thing, you. She said, you know what? She said, I'd just soon be dead and have to go through what's going on right now. Anyway, I'll just be with Jesus. You know, I don't care if they germ me. It don't make any difference. So what? I mean, better on the other side. That was a good little thought she had. That's spiritually thinking. But we think of all the things that are in the book of Revelation. Read that book from Revelation 1:1 up to where we are today. I can't go back and recap all of it, but now and then we need to review so we can remember where we came from and where we are here. Prophetic. We believe in what is called a futuristic interpretation of the book of Revelation. And that's also the foundation background of what this church believes here. A lot of people, what are some of the other terms? Remember?
Interpretation.
Uh-huh.
Preterist.
The preterist. All right.
Historic.
Historicist. All right. These are some other people's ideas of the book of Revelation. But when you look at the book of Revelation from any of those terms, you know what you have to do? You have to write off the literal interpretation of the scriptures. I teach reading at Lakeside School and grammar and English. And one of the things that they told me to do in the classroom with these third graders, who, what, where, when, and why. And what I've been telling you on all of my classes for the last 6 or 7 years here is what? Who's speaking? Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to, and what else? What's the subject? Can you interpret the book of Revelation in any of those terms except futuristic? Would it be interpreted correctly, Brother Donald? No?
He's always taking
it. Well, you're stepping right there. Well, I mean, here's a seminary graduate right there. I can pick on him real good. You're next, brother. Well, could you interpret the book of Revelation any other way and interpret it correctly without doing violence to the scriptures?
From chapter 4 on.
Yes. The first part of the book of Revelation is history. Tells about what happened back then. And then it talks about, and by the way, all the way through the deepest, hardest parts of the book of Revelation and tribulation, the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ aren't even spoken of. You know who it's dealing with? Daniel and his people. Who are they? The Israelites. Why is the tribulation period coming upon the world? Why? Who, what, when, where, and what? Why?
For Israel's country.
What?
For Israel's country. Yeah.
For Israel's. Look at here. Look at your little maps up here. How many of you got these little things? I hope you got some. I've got some here for you if you need them. The regathering of Israel. God came to his people once. Did you know that? The king of the world, of the universe, came to his people once. Israel were the administration were the administrators of God's kingdom during their time. The law and the prophets were until John. Then the kingdom of God was preached. Why was the kingdom of God preached? Because the king was here. Simple as that. Who, what, where, when, and why again. All right? The king of the glory was among us. And he came, and how should have Israel accepted him? And with open arms, as the king of glory. But did they? They plotted and murdered the king of glory. I'm teaching parables on Sunday night. There was a parable of a landowner. The landowner rented out his land to farmers, sharecroppers. And it came time to get his money, his rent. So he sent one of his servants to them, and that servant went there and they beat him up, mauled him. And he said, well, sent a few more of them, and then he said, well, I'll send my only son. I'll send my only son. Now, he wasn't the son because he was sent. Okay. He didn't become the Son when he was sent. When did Jesus Christ become the Son of God? Well, he always was. He didn't have to become the Son of God in Bethlehem. He was always God the Son, wasn't he? And because he was sent, he didn't become the Son of God when he was sent. He was sent because he was the Son of God. So this man sent the heir, the huios in Greek, to these land tenants, these renters, these sharecroppers. And they looked at him, and they should have said, this is the landowner's son, we will treat him. He said, they'll look at him, and they said, this is his only heir, and they'll treat him with respect. Then what did they do? They murdered him. They said, let's take his inheritance. Do you think the Pharisees and the scribes knew who Jesus was?
Yes.
Absolutely. And when he came to them, they plotted and they murdered the heir because they didn't want to lose their standing with the people. Was it a knowledgeable, premeditated murder?
Yes.
If you tried them in court of law, would they get first degree? Mm-hmm. Why, Luke, by the way, the gospel according to Luke, there's four gospels, aren't you? Four witnesses. By the Old Testament law says by two or three witnesses let everything be established. They couldn't kill a man. They couldn't try a man and commit him for murder or thievery or anything unless there were two or three witnesses. Well, in the four Gospels, we have four eyewitnesses. And by the way, Luke is a... What kind of witness was he? What is a real expert witness called in court?
Huh?
Forensic expert. And he's an expert witness. He was called in by God to be a scientific. He was a scientist. He was not only a doctor, he was a great scientist of his day. And an expert witness, and everything that you see written in the Gospel of Luke is according to forensic details. as an expert witness. He uses terms in there, Greek terms that are not used anyplace else. Some of them aren't used but one or two places in history besides what Luke uses. Expert witness, not a medical terms. And when it came to the story about teaching, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Guess what kind of needle Luke used? A suture. A needle that you sew up people with. You sew up a suture. All those little curved, sharp needles. That's what he used. It wasn't some door. You couldn't mistake a suture for a door. Small, low door. All right? Well, see, as we come through the book of Revelation now, we'll interpret it literally. Unless there is something that just, then it has a symbolic meaning. Like Jesus, his eyes were as a flame of fire. What does that mean? What do you think it means? Do you think he had eyes like a flame of fire? The omniscience of God. He could see everything. All right. He had feet like polished, pure, super refined brass. What does brass teach in the Bible? Judgment. What's silver teach in the Bible?
Salvation.
Redemption. Redemption. How about gold? When you see that he was girded with a golden what? Divinity, divineness. All right. Colors. Blue. Heavenly. Purple. Royalty. Red. Blood. White. Righteousness. Purity. All right, you're getting these things now. These are all types. These mean something in the Bible, don't they? Brown. Humanity. Wood. Humanity. All right. These are things that are really important. All right? Been working on some of you, haven't I? Get these things down because they are important when you see these things. These are symbolic of something. Now let's go back and look at this beast. 17 and verse 7. That's where we are. 17 and verse 7. I think I told you 17 and verse 8. I'm wrong. 17 and verse 7. Tai.
Tai.
Pen.
Loi.
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 Angelos.
Angelos.
Zia.
T.
Ethamasos.
Ego.
Ego.
Ero.
Ero.
Zoe.
Zoe.
To.
To.
Mysterion.
Mysterion.
Tais.
Tais.
Genekos.
Kos.
Kai.
Kai.
Tu.
Tu.
Theriu.
Theriu.
Tu.
Tu.
Bastas. Sontas.
Bastas.
Altain.
Altain.
Tu.
Tu.
Ekontos.
Ekontos.
Kas.
Kas.
Hepta.
Hepta.
Kephalos.
Kephalos.
Kai.
Kai.
To.
Larta.
Deca.
Deca.
Kerata.
Kerata.
There are a lot of terms in here. We're going to look at it in English in this verse.
And he said to me, he said, what does this word say here? What's it come from? What's the root of this word? Anybody know?
Lego.
Lego. All right. Lego in Greek. Let me show you that word printed up here for you. Lego. Lego. It means I speak. And the idea in Greek is a bird standing out or a chicken standing out in a field or a pasture picking up things that he wants and discarding the other. Alright? Now he picks these things up and that nourishes him. Alright? But the idea is that in your mind that you pick out words in your vocabulary and you line them up. You line them up so you can carry your thoughts to another. All right? You put one thought, word after another, just like I'm standing up here speaking. I'm lining up the words. In Hebrew, what is the equivalent of that? Remember that word?
Bar.
The bar. Okay, the bar. The bar in Hebrew means the same thing. It means to line up words. The word of God came by Jeremiah the prophet. The word of God, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. It's the bar, the root form of it, okay? And it means to line up. You can have a line of fence posts. You can have a line of soldiers. You can have a line of cavalry
or you can have a line of words. The same word is used for all of it. And when you think about it, think of it in this way. When God sets His Word down in the book of Revelation, it is like a mighty army going forward. Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right? And He said, third person singular, He said, and what kind of a tense is this? He said, just think about it in your mind, what would you say? The translation of this, He said.
Aorist
tense. All right. Indicative mode, indicative. Statement of fact. An active voice. He said it for himself. All right. And he said to me, the angelos. What do you think that word angelos is?
Angel.
Angel. That's where our word angel comes from. Angelos. Now look at this. This is alpha, gamma, gamma, isn't it? Epsilon, lambda, omicron, sigma. Okay? Alpha, gamma, gamma. Shouldn't that mean angelos?
Nope.
Why?
When you have two gammas together, the first one...
It becomes an an. That's where our word angel comes from, is right out of Greek. All right, that's a little grammatical diphthong, okay? That's what we call that little thing.
How many other diphthongs are there?
I don't remember, brother. I think you're eight.
Well, I haven't talked to getting Greek grammar for 20 years.
Long time. I don't even remember how many letters there are in the Greek alphabet. I just know them. I'd have to count them. The same way I don't have any are in the English alphabet. And he said to me, the angel, or what else can you translate this word?
Messenger.
Messenger. All right. Messenger. That's what an angel is. It's a messenger.
Does it have a translation, messenger, rather than angel?
You can say the man, well, we're talking about the angels here.
It sounds like you're just transliterating.
Yeah, the but the angel is what?
Messenger.
A messenger. All right. And then it says, deity, ethamathos. Dia here, that's a little preposition. If you want to look it up on page 90, you can. It means because of this. Because of what? You wandered. Now, go on there. Getting out early down there. I'll let you out in about 15 minutes. Because of what you wandered. Now, what's this word, thamazo? That's the root of this form. What does this word wandered? What's it mean? You ever had a traumatic experience?
You're amazed.
Struck out of your senses.
Stupefied.
Why are you stupefied? Why are you struck out of your senses? Why do you marvel? Okay. What? Shock. He's shocked. Why are you shocked? And then he says, ego. We get our Greek, or the psychological term ego from this. All right? Ego. What is the ego? It's the I. It's the first person. We got too many eyes in the world and not enough yous out there. All right. I, he says, I shall tell. And this word, hero, comes from Lego, too. All right. Same thing. It looks different, but this is first person singular, future indicative active. Future tense. What's the future tense? What's that? Huh? Something that's going to happen. You know, in the Hebrew language, when something is spoken of as future tense, grammatically you have to translate it as complete tense. Because in the Hebrew grammar, it's called a future perfect or a future historic perfect. Because the Word of God is so sure and so absolute that it is spoken of as if it has already happened. All right? I shall tell to you, to mysterion. What do you think that word mysterion is there? Come on, that's a really mystery. The secret of the woman. Tais gynakos. All right? Of the woman. Remember when we talked about a gynecologist? That's where the word gynecologist comes out here. Look how many words have come in our English language from Greek. And you thought you didn't know any Greek. Knew a lot more than you did. And then it says, and the Thedrio, and of the beast.
It is
the swift running
land shark.
Land shark. That's like a great white shark on land, moving with the agility. A killing machine. All right? Just a land killing machine. Mystery of the woman, and the beast, the one carrying her. What is this woman? Who does this woman represent?
Babylon.
Okay, Babylon. All right, but who is that Babylon?
Who is
this? This is the world religion of the Antichrist. This is what you call the final state of the ecumenical movement. All right? This is it. This is when the Antichrist comes on the scene here during the tribulation period. He comes out on a white horse. That's typifying what? What's white mean? If somebody came out with a white flag, what does it mean?
Surrender
or peace. In the old days, when the Indians came up and the white man came up and they greeted each other, they did like this. Actually, like this. What does that mean?
I have nothing on my hands.
No weapons. No weapons. I'm not going to grab something and cut your throat or shoot you. Okay, no weapons. That's why they greet each other from afar. No weapons. It's a white flag means peace. We're going to talk this thing over. We're going to get this thing straightened out. Okay. Peace. And he changes horses, then. What's the horse that he changes on next?
Red.
Huh?
Red.
Is it red?
Yeah,
red. Red horse?
Red.
What do you think red horse means?
Blood.
Then he changes war. Then he changes to a black horse.
Death.
Death. Then he changes to a green horse.
Pestilence
and disease. Green is the color of a dead man's body. Of absolute state of rotting death.
Yeah.
All right. How do you know it was a green horse?
It was a pale.
Oh, pale horse, but it was a green horse. All right. The woman. False religious system of the Antichrist. The religion that the Antichrist has set up. We saw the forerunner of that Antichrist system down through the Dark Ages ruling the world. A type of this system to come. And this system is going to be ruthless in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be... We as Baptists believe in what?
Pre-rapture.
What? Pre-tribulation rapture. All right. What do we believe in? As a state. As a state of church. The church and the world. How do we...
Separation
of church and state. Mm-hmm. The Antichrist doesn't believe that. Now, down to the Dark Ages, it was church-state, period. After 300 A.D., 325, Constantine the Great married the church to the state, didn't he? So then, if you disagreed with what was to become the Catholic Church, you died. Because why? If you disagreed, if you were a Baptist, if you were a Novatian, if you were a Paulician, if you were a Montanist,
Berengarian,
whatever, what? You were a traitor to the state because not only had you committed a religious crime, according to them, but a state crime, and therefore you could be capitally punished by the state. All right. This religion that this woman established is a state church. The religion and church are one. The religion and state are one. Everything. Totally controlled. What you call a total control religion. And the one having the seven heads and the 10 horns. Look at that word horns up there. Canrapta. What word in English do you think that corresponds to? What is the fruit in the ground that looks like a horn? A carrot. That's it. All right. The carrot. The horns. A carrot is a horn-like fruit. Okay? Seven horns. And if you want to cross-reference this to some other scriptures, write down 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7, Revelation 1 and verse 20, 17:3 and 17 and verse 5. And now 17 and verse 8. Let's look at that. Total Therion.
Therion.
Ho. Edes. Ain. Kai. Uk. Esten. Kai. Malay. Anna. By name. Et case of Isu. Kai. Ace. Apolini. On.
Apolini.
Kipage.
Kipage.
Kai.
Kai.
Thomas Thaisonte.
Thomas Thaisonte.
Hoi.
Hoi.
Karaoikuntes.
Karaoikuntes.
Epi.
Epi.
Thais.
Gais.
Son.
U.
Gegraptai.
Gegraptai.
To.
To.
Onoma.
Onoma.
Epi.
Epi.
To.
To.
Biblion.
Biblion.
Thais.
Thais.
Zoes.
Zoes.
Apo.
Apo.
Carabales.
Carabales.
Cosmu.
Cosmu.
And then we've even got some more here. Blay Ponta.
Ponta.
To.
To.
Therion.
Therion.
Pote.
Pote.
Ain.
Ain.
Kai.
Kai.
Uk.
Uk.
Esten.
Esten.
Kai.
Kai.
Para Este.
Para Este.
Yep. In my book here, it's out in three different pages. It's a long, long verse, okay? And the beast which you saw, this word comes from the word horao, okay? It's second person singular, secondary, sanditi acti. You saw how? Horao. What does that mean?
The right in
front of your face. View of this situation. You saw this three-dimensional view. You saw this in real life, okay? The beast which you saw, he kept on being. He kept on being. He continued to be for a long time. That's third person singular, perfect indicative active, isn't it? A little old to be verb there. Ain. He kept on being. He continued to be for a long period of time. And then he said, and not he is. And he is about to come up out of the ectes abyssu. That word is, our word comes right straight out of that one.
Abyss.
The abyss. What is the abyss? Comes from two great words.
Crack and earth.
Huh?
Crack and earth. Or
hold. If or not, it's the bottom is
on. No bottom. No bottom. That's what it means. Bottomless pit. Or no bottom. Alright. He comes up out of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and out of destruction. And unto destruction he goes. And they shall wander, the ones dwelling upon, down homing is what it literally says. They shall wander. They shall be in the same shock. That's that word, thamazo again. They shall wander. Third person plural, future, indicative, passive. Actually, a better translation of that, they shall be caused to be in a state of shock. All right, because that's passive. Brother Don?
It's not no voice?
No. They shall be caused to be in a state of shock. Upon the earth, epitase gaze. Of whom not it has been written the name upon epito biblion. What's a biblion?
Bible.
The book. Biblion means a scroll or a book. Okay? And this scroll, this book, was written a long time ago. How long ago was it written?
Before the end of the world.
Before the foundation of the cosmos. Before the cosmic foundation. Now, when did that happen? Can you show me a verse in the Bible where the cosmos began? What? Genesis 1 and 1. In beginnings, literally from Hebrew, in beginnings, created Elohim, the heavens, the Hashemayim with hearts, the heaven and the earth. And then it says, and she became formless and void. Verse 2. she became third person singular.
Tau preterite feminine verb. She became word haga.
She became formless and void. What happened from the original creation of God? Now all of this book life here is written back before all this happened. Beyond. Back in eternity, before anything was created. How long ago did God know you, Brother Bill? Man, he did. Is God omniscient? Did God know everything? I once heard an Armenian preacher stand up and preach, God only knew what he wanted to know. Well, you know what he just did when he said that? Nullified God. Because God, to be God, must be what?
Omniscient.
All right? God, to be God, must be three things. He must be omniscient. He must know everything. He must be omnipresent, and what else?
Omnipotent.
And omnipotent, all-powerful. The only thing that limits God's power in space and time are His limitations that He puts upon Himself. All right? In space and time, God decided to send forth His heir, His Son, God the Son, to become flesh. Jehovah became flesh to die for us on the cross of Calvary. God said, I will do that. And He did it in space and time. In the flesh of the person of Jesus Christ. Was Jesus man? Yes. Was He God?
Mm-hmm.
Always. John 1:1 says, in the beginning kept on being the Word, or the Jehovah. And the Jehovah kept on being toward the God. And the Jehovah kept on being God. Did Jesus ever cease being God upon this earth? No. Never. He was God. A perfect harmony of that. I can't tell you how, except grammatically the Bible will tell you this. I was talking to Brother Brandon earlier. And he's taking some Bible languages, and I told him, I said, you ought to take Greek for 2 years before you take Hebrew so you can learn the tenses. You've got to learn tenses. You've got to learn basic grammar, advanced grammar, so you can understand and so you can grasp the Hebrew. Because the Hebrew is going to destroy a lot of your ideas. The book of Revelation is written in Greek. But it uses Hebrew grammar. Believe it or not. It really does. And that's why I'm bringing so much Hebrew to you here from this book. Because it is there. The Hebrew grammar is here. Sometimes in Greek it doesn't work. But John will twist the Greek and make it Hebrew. And rest it. He's not doing violence to anything. He's just showing it in a Hebrew mind, though it's in Greek. Because it's to a Hebrew people. Alright? God created the universe. The whole cosmos. The word cosmos comes from the Greek word cosmos. Alright? That's another good one, alright? Cosmos comes from the Greek word cosmos. Alright? That's real hard to learn, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Look at there. You can just put that feather in your hat tonight and take it home with you. Know that, Greek? Cosmos. Cosmos means what?
To set in order.
To set in order. It means an order. A woman's bathroom is a... Regardless. Brother Harvard told me one time... This is my Hebrew and Greek teacher. I can't tell anything about Brother Hubbard because he's not going to get me. Not right here and now anyway. Brother Hubbard said one time, he said, I remember the word cosmos and this is the way I remember. He said, an old barn looks better if you paint it. And the word cosmetics comes from this word. And when a woman puts on cosmetics, she sets herself in order. She's got her war paint on. She's ready to go. All right. Cosmetics. Cosmos. Order. All right. We're going to get through this verse and I'm going to turn you loose. The book of life, the Biblios, it comes from, Biblios means a scroll. Okay? The scroll of life, the book of life from the foundation, the kata balates, that means to throw down. That means to put down a foundation, okay? Put down rocks for a foundation. Before the foundation of a world cosmic system, and it says, seeing the beast, that he kept on being not he is, and he shall be. Now, what does it mean? That means that the beast is going to be killed, but he is going to rise up again. All right? A lot of people have made all kinds of guesses about this. It's going to be Hitler raised, and he's going to be this. He's going to be a lot of things. He's going to be a certain pope in history past is going to be raised again, or some terrible murderer or something. But it also tells you in the book of Revelation that the beast is killed during that period of time, and that he's resurrected also. But once the Antichrist comes on the scene, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
He comes on the scene with peace and safety.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the middle of the week, what does he do? He declares his world system of religion null and void, and it says, I am God, worship me. And that's the end of it. That's the end of that religious system. The Lord Jesus Christ called Israel to be his bride, and Jehovah in times past. Israel was unfaithful to God. She was an unfaithful harlot, he said. He came to the New Testament, he made a new administrator, and he called out an espoused bride, which he calls his churches, to be his espoused bride. Now, he said he died for his churches then. Jesus Christ, the book of Ephesians, Paul said that the Lord died for his church. That's the way a man should cherish his wife as the Lord cherished the church and died for her. The devil has a bride also. It is this false religious system. And he is embodied, and he is, the Antichrist is the embodiment of him. And what does he do for his religious system? He murders her. But the devil was a murderer from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He was a murderer from the beginning. All right, that's where we're going to quit tonight. Thank you for your attention. I hope you learned something from the Word of God tonight. And I hope I'm giving you a little bit of grammar as we study the Word of God. The only reason why I ever studied Greek to begin with, so I could understand the Bible better, because the Bible was in the original language, is the inspired Word of God is written in Greek and Hebrew. So I will spend a little time doing that if we're going to teach it. Thank you for your attention. And I know these seats get hard after about an hour. God bless each and every one of you for coming and enduring. Father, thank you for your Word. Please help it to guide our lives. Help us always to keep our eyes on you, and help us to give ourselves as a living sacrifice for you, as the Lord gave himself as a sacrifice for us. Take us as we go out this week and guide each and every one of us. Help us to be witnesses in these hard times. Help us to take advantage of this, that where we can reach people, that they might be saved. And that's not all, that they might come to know you in a real close relationship in one of God's churches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.